In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 116, Sins Against Truth. And we have a diptych that's two pictures, and caption for the first one. The greatest calumnies were spoken when false witnesses testified against Jesus before Caiaphas. The high priest gave ear to the calumnies and condemned our Lord to death, although he knew him to be innocent. The second one. People who gossip and spread tales that detract from the reputation of someone have much to answer for. Quote, brethren, do not speak against one another. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. Okay, so this is lesson 116, Sins Against Truth. What is lying? Lying is saying for the purpose of deceiving others what we know or suspect to be untrue. Lying is a sin, even when it may be the means of effecting much good. The end does not justify the means, and we must not commit evil in order to obtain good. A malicious lie is told for the purpose of injuring someone. It is by its nature a mortal sin, and becomes venial only when the injury done is slight. A lie taken under oath is perjury, a mortal sin. An officious lie is told to avert evil from oneself or others. It is often called a white lie. A jocose lie is told to amuse others. Very often it is no sin at all, as when we relate an imaginary narrative for the amusement or instruction of others. Tell a joke which we made up, relate fables and fairy tales, etc. But if a jocose lie as harmful results, it becomes sinful. Sins related to lying as violations of the respect due to truth are hypocrisy and flattery. Hypocrisy or dissimulation is acting a lie. It is hypocrisy to pretend to be better than we are. It was hypocrisy of Judas to kiss our Lord like a friend when it was only to betray him. Those who are outwardly pious but lead lives of sin are hypocrites. They resemble Satan, who can assume the form of an angel of light. Jesus called hypocrites whited sepulchres, beautiful outside but within, full of dead men's bones. Flattery consists in praising a person immoderately against one's conviction for an ulterior motive. A flatterer lies in order to secure an advantage for himself. Quote, a man that speaketh to his friend with flattering and dissembling words spreadeth a net for his feet. Proverbs 29, verse 5. Another quote, it is better to be rebuked by a wise man than to be deceived by the flattery of fools. From Ecclesiasticus chapter 7, verse 6. Another quote, woe to you that call evil good. From Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Flatterers criticize and ridicule a man behind his back, but they praise him before his face. When does a person commit the sin of rash judgment? A person commits the sin of rash judgment when, without sufficient reason, he believes something harmful to another's character. People judge others by themselves. He who is not evil will less likely think evil quickly of others. He who is a sinner will interpret the actions of others in an evil manner at once. One's judgment of others is a reflection of his own character. Quote, charity thinks no evil, from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. A just person, even when he sees evil, tries to avoid thinking of it and leaves the judgment to God. A person is guilty of rash suspicion when he suspects on insufficient grounds. Quote, do not judge that you may not be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. From St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. When does a person commit the sin of detraction? A person commits the sin of detraction when, without good reason, he makes known the hidden faults of another. To speak of what everybody knows or of what appeared in the newspapers is not detraction. It is, however, contemptible for newspapers to publish family troubles that are of no public concern. Talebearing is a most despicable form of detraction. It consists in repeating to a person unfavorable remarks made about him. Uncharitable conversation is commonly termed backbiting, a cowardly act of discussing the known faults of another without necessity and behind his back. It is wrong to listen to detraction and uncharitable conversation if we take pleasure in it or encourage it. When the conversation turns to another person's faults, we should try to excuse him or change the subject. Quote, hast thou heard a word against thy neighbor? Let it die with thee. Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 10. When does a person commit the sin of calumny or slander? A person commits the sin of calumny or slander when by lying he injures the good name of another. Any public defamatory accusation maliciously made, whether the facts be true or not, is called libel. Exaggerating faults is a form of calumny. Gossip is a form of calumny because it usually exaggerates a person's faults or sins with malice. The sin of slander is a double one, lack of charity and a violation of the 10th commandment. When are we obliged to keep a secret? We are obliged to keep a secret when we have promised to do so, when our office requires it, or when the good of another demands it. A priest may never reveal anything confided to him in confession, even if keeping it secret will result in death for himself or others. This rule has no exceptions. A secret may be revealed when A. It is for the good of the guilty person. B. It will save ourselves or others from evil. C. Keeping it secret is against justice or the welfare of society. And D. The person to whom it is revealed has a right to know. When there is a just reason for revealing a secret, we may do so to persons in authority, such as parents, superiors, teachers, or courts of law. Serious faults should be made known to parents, teachers, and superiors who may be able to correct them. Care should be taken to avoid exaggerating faults. It is wrong to read another person's letters without permission. Eavesdroppers are contemptible. A tattletale is despicable. What must a person do who has sinned by detraction or calumny, or has told a secret he is bound to keep? A person who has sinned by detraction or calumny, or who has told a secret he is bound to keep, must repair the harm he has done to his neighbor as far as he is able. If the offense was made in private, we must apologize and take back what we said. If the offense was made before others, we must retract publicly. If we do not endeavor to repair the harm we have done, we cannot obtain God's pardon or the priest's absolution. It is very difficult and sometimes impossible to make perfect reparation for calumny and detraction. Words once spoken are not forgotten by those who hear. This fact should make us very careful about avoiding sins against the 8th commandment. God gave us a tongue to speak kind and useful words. We should make a rule never to speak ill of anyone. A story is told of the saintly Curie of Ars and the penitent at the confessional who had confessed having gossiped about an acquaintance. The penitent thought he got off very easily indeed when all the penance he was given was to drop one by one 10 blades of straw on the yard before his house at a distance of 5 meters apart, and then to go back and pick up the 10 blades. Going home, he proceeded to perform the penance. But he realized the lesson the saintly priest wished him to learn, when upon returning to pick up the blades of straw, he could find none. The wind had blown them all away. That finishes the reading there. I was thinking of a story very similar to that, but the story that I heard was asking the penitent to take a feather pillow and to cut the feather pillow open and toss the feathers into the wind, and then to go around and gather the feathers back up. So once these rumors get started, they seem to take on a life of their own, and it is impossible to call them back or to undo the damage that has been unleashed, I guess. Do we have any questions or comments? And no, I don't know the source of the feathers, but I do recall hearing it or reading it somewhere.
I think it was St. Philip Neri.
Okay. No questions, comments? Okay. Seems pretty straightforward to me. I think before lesson we made a distinction between detraction and slander. Detraction is revealing a known fault of someone. So if we know some hidden fault of someone, again, we're speaking of something that is true, not made up. We are speaking of detraction. We're detracting from their good name. Slander or calumny is when we make up stories, when we lie about them. Whether the facts be true or not, okay, according to this definition here, but I think technically calumny or slander is a lie, something that is falsified. And morality can get, moral theology can get very in-depth there. If someone tells us something that is actually true, though they think it is a lie, they are guilty of lying. Very often we end up in situations like that where we speak something that later proves we may have thought that we were deceiving, but later it is proven that what we had spoken was true, or vice versa. There are many times people may speak the truth or what they think is the truth, but it is a falsehood. But that is not technically a lie because they have no intention of deceiving. And so the culpability of the truth depends a lot on our subjective standpoint of what is in our heart, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to destroy someone? Then it is detraction or calumny, or we're making up a story as long as no one is harmed, or we can, leave the names and dates and times and places out to protect the innocent. All these things can be changed to teach a lesson or to entertain ourselves because actually all of your shows and TVs, your parables, if you want to get technical, they are not true and therefore a lie. I was kind of shocked when I read St. Augustine's Condemnation of the Theater. They are a bunch of the actors in themselves are liars. They are putting on a costume to deceive, to make you believe that they are someone else. And I'm thinking, well, when I watch a show or play, I don't believe that the actors are the real people they're portraying. I'm not really deceived, but I guess, as I mentioned in a sermon not too long ago, perhaps little children can watch a cartoon of Superman and think that perhaps they can fly as well and might end up jumping off the balcony and breaking their legs. But I think for the most part, at least in our time, the plays, the shows, the TVs, the cartoons, are pretty much understood to be not real, and therefore not technically alive, but they're more for our entertainment or our education, if you will. And of course, to lie under oath is perjury, and that is a mortal sin. Okay, so and it doesn't have to be on religious matters. We swear to tell the truth in a court of law, in a civil court of law. It is still a mortal sin because we have called God to witness the truth of what we are about to say, and if we knowingly speak a falsehood, then we have lied, and that is a mortal sin because we have sworn that before God that we are telling the truth. Can't think of much else to say, so I guess we will end there with our act of resignation to the divine will.
Question.
We have one. Isn't it better to just to say nothing or to change the subject easily and gently? Not sure what that is in reference to, but when we hear someone speaking these falsehoods, yes, it is. I don't know if saying nothing is better, depending on the situation. You might cause more of an argument by correcting, but I think saying nothing, what is it they say? Silence gives consent. So I do think something should be said, or we should at least walk away and make it known by either our actions or our words that we want no part of backbiting, calumny, or slander. And yes, if we can gently and easily change the subject, I think that is a much better course of action. Thank you for the question. Okay, let's end now with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.